but you can understand what an engaging time we had as a planning group. And in talking through these things, I want to acknowledge Steve Kay for bringing forward some data, new data. I'd never seen it broken out that way, a really lovely depiction of the population of people with disabilities, helping us understand the diversity of that. For Ron, engaging in a really lively presentation of experiences of vets with disabilities and projection, sort of challenging us with some projections into the future and providing some great data from registries. From Kamara for presenting the analogy that we will, I think, never forget, the cliff analogy around social determinants of health as well as social determinants of inequity, HP 2020 mapped against that, and then some musings around stereotype, stigma, and isms. I'm going to finish, and I'll move through this fairly rapidly, so I will be very mindful about time, to do just a bit of discussion about the future of disability in public health, and I'm going to go back to a global perspective. This comes from the World Health Organization's World Report on Disability that says disability is part of the human condition and almost everyone will be temporarily or permanently impaired at some point in life, and those who survive to old age will experience increasing difficulties in functioning. That disability is complex and interventions required to overcome disadvantage are multiple, systemic, and will vary depending on the context. What I'm going to do now is run through the 9 recommendations in the World Report on Disability and give just some quick explication relative to the U.S. So think global and act local. The first recommendation from the World Report is to enable access to all mainstream policies, systems, and services for people with disability. This means inclusion, inclusion, inclusion. To mainstream for ordinary needs, to ensure that we in all of our programs are accommodating the disability and we're removing barriers that allow people to be included, and to ensure that people with disabilities participate equally with others in any activity and service that's intended for the general public. That does mean collecting data in order to determine, are you really having equivalent participation rates. Within the U.S., there is certainly a call for inclusion of people with disabilities in public health. A lot of that emphasis is on removing barriers, providing accommodations, and collecting data on inclusion and effectiveness. The second recommendation is understanding that people will still require some specific programs, and this would be to invest in specific programs and services for people with disabilities. So that some people will require rehabilitation, support services, or training, that we improve multidisciplinary services, particularly at times of transition, and that programs and services are evidence-based and culturally appropriate and locally tested. In the U.S., we have a lot of emphasis on using cross-disability approaches for rehabilitation, supports, and training where that's necessary, and then moving to condition-specific services where that's essential. The third recommendation is to adopt a national disability strategy and plan of action. It should be consolidated and comprehensive, with a long-term vision, should be developed by a broad range of stakeholders, it should be informed by situation analysis, and it should establish priorities with measurable outcomes. So does the U.S. have such a strategy? The answer would be no. It doesn't have a consolidated strategy or plan of action. And HP 2020 provides an opportunity for a framework, but we really have not thought through strategically all the areas that really need to be addressed. HP 2020 is much more based on where are there data available. The fourth recommendation is to involve people with disabilities because they have a unique perspective. It provides for capacity building, and it will support empowerment. And in some instances, supported decision-making may be necessary, which are strategies in order to empower people to start to understand how to make those decisions. In the U.S., we are fortunate in having strong disability advocacy organizations. We have a system for public input process that many other countries do not have. And we have state public health associations, a number of whom do have disability chapters. And part of the challenge to those of you from states is to find out whether or not your state public health association does have a disability special interest group or a chapter. The fifth recommendation is to improve human resource capacity, and this comes from the knowledge that the attitudes and the knowledge base of the workforce and the media are often inadequate. We really need to address that. Many countries don't have enough staff in rehabilitation and special education, and that we need standards in training for different types and different levels of personnel. And again, for the U.S., we are starting to establish public health competencies related to disability, but there is clearly a need for a broader training framework for health and public health professionals for adult services. We really don't have that. We have something equivalent to that for children, but do not have that for the adult service system. The sixth recommendation is to provide adequate funding and to improve affordability. We always hear this. We need more money. We need to have more services. In this case, they're defined as being adequate and sustainable funding for services that are consumer-directed, that expand health and social insurance coverage, and to consider fee waivers, reduced transport fares, and reduced import taxes and duties on assistive technology, simply to make those technologies more available to people. In the U.S., we have some of those things currently moving towards being in place, and some of them already are. We currently are very much in a place of needing to invest in employment opportunities. We heard that from several from our presenters today. The sixth recommendation is to increase public awareness and understanding of disability. We've heard a lot about stigma and isms, and the intent of this would be to promote acceptance of diversity and disability, diversity being a part of that, for employers to recognize their responsibilities. This plays back to the employment issues, and the question about social marketing campaigns that would change attitudes. We see that in some countries. The U.S. is doing that in some instances, although I don't know that there's been a strong public health campaign. What we are seeing in the U.S., however, is APHA's clear and growing commitment to disability competence. We've seen that over the last at least 2 years, and it's wonderful to see. Whether or not there is equivalent local program commitment is a question that each of you could ask your communities or look to for your in your own communities. And then the question of, do we need a broader public awareness campaign around disability to normalize disability, to start to see it as a part of the normal human condition. The eighth recommendation is to improve disability data collection. That data need to be standardized and internationally comparable, and there's some work going on with that now. That disability should be included in many types of data collection, and that it should be collected in such ways that we can disaggregate by age, sex, race, and socioeconomic status. And the examples that we saw that Steve presented is just the beginning of that kind of work that we know is on the horizon for us. In the U.S., the HHS disability standards for surveys have certainly come forward as a major step in order to make discussion across different data sets more comparable. The next step really is to implement those standards. Heard this morning that people are seeing them showing up in surveys, and that's great to hear. And then we need to be analyzing by disability status so that we start to understand when is it an important demographic variable and when is it not. There has been, for many years, a desire for more data. The U.S. is actually very data-rich, but relative to some other groups and conditions, there has not been in-depth disability data that would be equivalent to what was the National Health Interview Survey Disability Supplement of 94-95, which really drilled deep on a range of issues, but we have not seen a repeat of that, and there has been a call for us to see that happen in order to get much deeper information, because those data, we've seen a lot of social change happen since 94 and 95. Although those data are still analyzed. And then the final recommendation is to strengthen and support research on disability, to measure impact of environmental factors and interactions, recognizing that that is an under-researched area, to address quality of life and well-being, that this is a really important. We're so past only morbidity and mortality, we need to be including quality of life, to address barriers to mainstream and inclusion and to specific services, and to determine what works and what doesn't work. to look at accessibility and universal design of programs, particularly for low-income countries, and to look at cost-effectiveness of public spending on disability programs. So in the U.S., we have been emphasizing disability as disparity as a vehicle to start to look at some of those issues. There is a number of the reports repeatedly come out on the limited disability research funding, certainly relative to the size of the population that it represents, and the cost of health and health care utilized by that group. But that there are, and this came through some of our dialogue and planning of this meeting, that there are multiple streams of funding that National Institute of Disability and Rehab Research, NIH, the VA, Department of Defense, and numerous foundations do have those are the typical sources for funding. The opportunities for today, let me just say that right now, as of today, inclusion of disability in APHA and in your home programs is something each and every one of us can work on. The second take-home message is for you to know, whether you're working in disability or not, is that you are already working with people with disabilities, but you may not know it. It could be in your health promotion programs or in your state emergency preparedness. And without recognizing that and making the necessary accommodations and doing the necessary planning for it, you are missing out on that group, and your target goals are not going to be met, because in all likelihood, that group probably represents about 30% of your target population, plus or minus, and that you'll be more effective with your bottom line by accommodating and planning for success for this group. That's it. Thank you. And I know we have actually gone over by 4 minutes. I will ask if the presenters can stay for any further discussion, and apologies, but we had a lot to say, and we really appreciate your staying here through all of this. Thank you.